Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 235, episode 4 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It's Thursday, May 5th, 2022, which, you know, that's the day.
Cinco de Mayo, if you're so inclined.
There you go. All right.
I think there's like a couple other things. National World Password Day. Also,
hell yeah, time also to update those passwords.
Yeah, and National Cartoonist Day. Shout out cartoonists,
you know. Hell yeah, I mean? Animators in the process of utilizing their unions to make a better workspace.
Exactly. We support you and your cartoonish creations.
And I just generally, I think we all like any chance we get to update our passwords. So I think that's a shout out to
definitely a highlight.
Yeah, everybody enjoys that. My name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Potatoes O'Brien, and I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
It's Miles Gray, but you know what? I saw some really great Star Wars references for May the 4th be with you for yesterday, but you know, I just want to do a couple. The Phantom Munchies, Attack of the Stones, The Empire Smokes Black and Miles, and Return of the Red Eyes. Okay, shout out to Fight of the Nightman. Ah! On a Discord for those.
Is that Fight of the Nightman? Is that a reference to something?
Dayman.
Okay.
Fighter of the Nightman. It's from It's Always Sunny.
Yeah, exactly. I knew that. I just wanted the listeners to not feel left out by our little in joke.
And it's funny too.
I'm not
the biggest It's Always Sunny fan, but I've experienced the right ones where people think I'm literate. So, you know.
Yeah. I think we've had this exact conversation and I just forgot.
Probably.
Well, Miles, we are thrilled to be joined by an executive producer behind shows like Fake Doctors, Real Friends, and Welcome to Our Show. You've heard her on Pop Culture Happy Hour, read her at Vulture, the AV Club, Team Vogue Pace, many more. She is the host and executive producer of the Comic-Con Metapod. It is the brilliant and talented
Joelle Monique!
What's up? It's the Marvel Defender back in action.
Yeah.
Star Wars lady, purple lipstick Dawn. I've got more names coming. We're cooking them.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hair looking good?
Yes. Miles, you made my whole day when you texted me. We were in a meeting and you were like, oh, what's up, Janet Jackson with the poetic justice braids?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is the best compliment I've ever received.
I didn't see you since you got your hair done and then you popped on that call. And I was like, okay, Janet, I see you over there. You think I didn't know? I'm like, we need to get you that little cabbie hat, though, that she had to really set off that outfit.
Oh, yeah.
I'm here for
what
it.
A look. Giving me
iconic.
Janet. Yeah.
And Joelle, your new show dropped yesterday.
Yes, it did on May the 4th. It's a 45th anniversary Star Wars Day special.
Oh, wow.
Celebrating all things Star Wars. Co-host Hector Navarro and I, if y'all don't know Hector, you should get to know him. He's an incredible host. He does the SpongeBob podcast for iHeart and Nickelodeon. But I knew him back in the day when he was on DC's streaming network. And his knowledge is so deep. The man has a library of books and DVDs that he rents out to his friends. Okay. Yeah. I mean, like, he keeps a catalog of everything. It's really impressive. We once watched a bunch of Marvel movies in like canonical order and just him and I talking about them back and forth. And so I knew that, like, when LA Comic Con came to iHeart and like, hey, let's partner up and do something. And they wanted to bring a convention to ears every week. I was like, that's got to be Hector and me. And we did a whole bunch of tests and they were like, we like the chemistry and it worked. And so I was so excited to do the show. But then Comic-Con's booking people were like, we're going to help you get great guests. And the first person they got for us was Giancarlo Esposito. And I was like, we're going to talk to the icon of performing. Like, just he's Moff Gideon in The Mandalorian. But some of you might know him as Bugging Out from Do the Right Thing. Maybe Gus from Breaking Bad.
I mean, truly
iconic level performer. And he bears his soul to us. We cry together over our love of Star Wars and Sondheim. I mean, actual tears when he starts talking about, you know, the impact fans have had on him. And so that was a great conversation. And then we pivoted and we talked to Kevin Kiner, who's done the most music other than John Williams for the Star Wars universe. And that was an incredible conversation talking about, you know, he does the theme music for two of my favorite characters, Plo Koon and Ahsoka Tano.
Okay.
It was great. It's so lovely. And then we end it with a trivia battle between two Star Wars fandoms. So it's the Droid Builders and the Mando Mercs. So these are fan clubs that get together and design droids and create Mandalorian armor and then go to conventions and hang out.
Wow.
And really cool.
And you pit them in a battle of wits, like a trivia contest too?
Yeah, we did.
Oh, this is perfect.
A Family Feud style version of trivia. It was great.
That feels like
fun in theory, and then they like whoever lost that had to disappear off
There's
the grid for a couple months.
I think the point difference was like by 5 or 10 points, so there was no devastating loss. I'll say that. And then they both got nice little prize packages at the end, so no hurt feelings.
Wonderful. Well, Joelle, we are going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. People should go listen to that show right now, first episode,
Comic-Con Metapod. Yeah.
But before we get to know you better, some things we'll be talking about later on. We're obviously going to be talking about the Supreme Court, the leaked decision, and just like trying to put all this into greater context, this particular movement, which keeps getting referenced as like a grassroots effort by conservatives, incorrect. We'll explain why just how incorrect that is. We'll take a look at the Supreme Court, just in general across the 20th century, what their whole kind of MO has been, continues to be. And we'll look at Joe Biden's abortion record. All of that. Plenty more, but first, Joelle, we do like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history?
Oh, yeah. Well, this morning I caught myself on the Disney Grand California Adventure page doing some research. My birthday is coming up. Last year, I dropped everything and flew to New York and saw some Broadway musicals with one of my favorite gal pals, and it was amazing. But I haven't done Disney Halloween yet, and all my friends say it's amazing. And I want to be there when, you know, Mickey's in his like vampire costume and it's so cute. And then Oogie Boogie's there and I love Oogie Boogie. And they turn the Haunted Mansion into the Nightmare Before Christmas. It's so cute. So I want to go and do that. And then there's also a spa and you can just walk into the park, which I think is the most ideal way to do Disney. Like you're in the hotel and then you just walk directly into, No, you're right outside of the gate, so you can go California Adventure or Disneyland, whichever. Got you. Takes 2 seconds to walk from your hotel room. And, you know, if in the middle of the day you're overheating and you go take a nap, you just head right back to your hotel and then flip and turn around and come back out. And that is the
quick
dream.
Outfit change, you know what I mean?
I mean, when it's nighttime and I want to go back to Star Wars Land because the lighting has changed because there's no trees over Disney California Adventure, and so it looks completely different and super cool. Yeah, absolutely. 110%. I want to do that. So I'm really excited. I think I'm going to do it. It's going to be ungodly expensive for no reason, but I kind of don't care. It's my birthday. So I'm going to spend the money. I want to do it.
Yeah. I mean, what's the point of toiling if not to indulge our interests when our free time, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
So Anything to look forward to.
But when's your actual birthday?
October 1st.
Oh, okay, gotcha. So you're making sure you're looking out there, you're getting a long view, making sure it's the right move. Okay.
Yeah, booking it, letting the friends know who wants to pop in, what's going off. Yeah.
Nice. Man, that's the most baller shit I think I ever heard of. Is like if you live locally and you're like, you know what, I'm going to Disneyland with the hotel room.
I'm gonna go live at Disneyland for a couple days.
Yeah.
That's fucking cool.
I need some escapism.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They'd be like, sir, your pupils are so dilated, we can't let you in the park. I'm like, really? Oh, that's cool. I'm just cosplaying as Pikachu.
I was not aware of so starting October 1st, they have like sort of a Halloween theme or...
It's actually the end of August through the end of October. So it's the longest season at Disney. Is Halloween season, because if you're a Halloween head and you like to dress up, there's a good chance you're also a Disney head and want to go hang out over there. The overlap is large.
Right.
Yeah.
And since you brought up vampires, we do have to ask you, what is your opinion on are vampire fangs hollow? Like as in you...
Like straws that you suck through?
Thank you.
Yeah,
Or are they just big bitey teeth? Just for ripping
wound a vein and then they suck out, like, you know.
I would say old vampires, like really old vampires, the ancient kind, that's just bone, you know, because they're not really doing the clean bite and walking away from it. You're pretty much destroyed. But these new age vampires who like don't want to kill with their bite or whatever, you know, they're like semi-vegan vampires. I think they're hollow. I think they've evolved into hollow fangs.
Wow, this is the first. Most people we talk to, they're either or. And you've put in the Darwinian argument for the evolution towards a hollow fang. Okay.
Because look at our more recent vampires. Like, they're clean. They come up from their victim. No blood on them. They're like gentlemen and shit. So I feel like you can't do that if you're just puncturing with bone. There's new blood everywhere.
Yeah, and I feel like there's some vampire movies or cartoons that I've seen where the person doesn't know that they've been bit. Like, it's kind of a, what just happened? Like, which has more in common with a mosquito, which Zeitgang on Twitter has pointed out. That is, like, we keep saying it's a reverse, like, snake bite because snakes, like, inject venom through the fangs. But it's actually just, they're just biting mosquitoes. Yeah,
that makes vampires sound a lot less scary, but 10 times more annoying.
Right.
Yeah.
Swat them away like, no.
Instead of a tiny red welt, you have everlasting life and your life is very strange.
And very pale.
Yeah.
No more sunrises, but eternal beauty. I mean, give it a take.
There you go. And if there was like two different types at various times, I do feel like it would make sense that the ones who have to just like open a massive wound in someone's neck would probably be the ones that were more likely to die off because
humans are going to apex predator the shit out of that. They're like, no way, we are mass killing machines, and so we will devour you.
Yeah, like, exactly.
You can't be doing this.
What is something that you think is overrated?
As a person who really like loves fashion, I love reading a Vogue magazine, a Harper's Bazaar, if you will. Love the fashion world and their goofiness and their eccentricness. The Met Gala is really overrated to me, and here's why. No one follows theme. Okay. I know we say it every year. The Met Gala fans go on to the Twitters and we're like, what? They went through the whole effort of making a theme. They brought in specific art pieces. A lot of times the meal goes along with the theme. Why would you come dressed not as the theme? What is the point? And this year they did the Gilded Age, one of the fanciest, yeah, most like extreme time. You could have done giant parasols, huge hats. I mean, hoop skirts for days. It's literally the era of corsets. And everyone was like, I'm going in black, which first of all, it's the Gilded Age is all about color. Too much black, lots of like lace underwear things. Some people got it. Some people were about it. Gigi Hadid, you know, at first I was like, I don't understand the entire like latex red leather corset pant thing. But then with the coat, she was like, oh no, I'm gonna F with this silhouette and give you perfect time period, which works. Sarah Jessica Parker was working out of three separate centuries, but it came together. It was mostly in line with theme. And then who's the director of something like 40 year? It's a Netflix show. Hold on, I'm gonna find her because she knocked it out of the park doing the sort of like ode to black women of the era, highlighting the seamstresses who were behind a lot of the classic designs. Mm-hmm. Rhonda Blank. Rhonda Blank is an incredible director. She directed this movie called The 40-Year-Old Version about a right. woman who's interested in getting into like hip hop and reconnecting with her writing roots. It is a stunning performance, but her outfit for the gala was like giant white head wrap, like knife, billowing skirt. It was incredible, and I really appreciated what she brought to the theme.
I think my favorite outfit was Pete Davidson with his tanner, his self-tanning spray.
Oh, God. His new tattoos.
Did he not look a little tan to you?
This is what happens when you get with a Kardashian, okay? Your beauty glow-up routine begins immediately because you're right. being on more cameras than you ever thought existed in your whole life. So I get it. It's literally keeping up with the Kardashians. He's got to put in work.
Also, I love how on point, like just how odd the theme of the Gilded Age, you know, just it's so the on the nose, it's frightening. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Massive inequality in child labor, but hey, you know, let's ball out. And nothing.
But Hillary's dress was dedicated to Harriet Tubman, so, you know, problems resolved.
Boom. See? It giveth and it taketh.
True.
I also think the Met Gala is overrated because I don't know who any of these designers are for the most part. Well, and people are like, oh, and they're wearing
Louis Dreyfus.
Yeah. Okay, Carolina Herrera. I know that one, but like there were some Prabal Gurung. I don't know. Jean Louis.
French one.
Yeah.
You're like, where are my favorite designers? Gildan, Haynes, Reebok.
<Thank you. laughs> What is something you think is underrated?
Oh, candles are underrated. In the interest of disappearing from this plane of existence, I've gotten really into a company called Cantrip Candles.
Oh,
they
yeah.
They do D&D themed candles, which are my favorite thing in the whole world. They got one that smells like a library, one that smells like an adventure dungeon, one that smells like a den of thieves, which is like red wine and smoke, which I really, really enjoy. They're amazing. I have taken them to D&D games. It really helps set that we already have like mood lighting. We got a whole board. We're doing the storytelling. You add the candles in and you are practically in that dungeon, baby. It is amazing.
Yeah.
So if you're into that kind of vibe, go check out Cantrip Candles. But candles in general.
Also black owned.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Shout out Kristoff.
Black owned, woman owned. Like it's a beautiful space. You got to go check it out. What I really love about it is it's like just candles in general have the ability to just like bring stress relief to you kind of immediately in a way mm-hmm. that a product that costs $5.99 can rarely do. Get them on the cheap. They're real fragrant. They last for a pretty long time. It's a good deal is what I'm saying. If you're fancy enough to do the thing where you break down the little bit of wax that's left and remelt and build new candles, kudos to you. I haven't gotten there yet in my recycling, but as the earth continues to deteriorate, I aspire to be the kind of person who can save and reuse wax.
That's a whole other level. Yeah.
Totally.
I'm not into that level of alchemy yet, but yeah. Her Majesty actually went to school with Kristoff from Cantrip.
Really?
Yeah. That's like how I first heard about it. She was like, yeah, my friend from school has this candle store. We went, I was like, what the fuck? And we've got a few cantrips in the house.
Yeah. I grew up associating scented candles with just Yankee Candle, just that store in the mall. And it's the equivalent of, you know, like car air fresheners. It's just bad and overwhelming. And they don't smell like anything as much as just air fresheners. And yeah, I've recently had my eyes opened to the fact that you can have really like great smells that don't smell like you're burning a scented candle. Yeah. I love a smoky, like wood fire scented anything that really does it for me.
I'm telling you, when I get those crackling wick candles, I talked about this in the winter.
Yes,
my house
would
smell like you came over to Karen's crib. Okay.
Yes. I like to change my candles for the seasons.
You got to.
You need a fresh linen in the summer. You know, mm-hmm. you want to get your pine and cranberry on in the winter.
Yeah. Totally.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's C-A-N-T-R-I-P.
Yeah.
Yes. Cantrip candles.
Nice. Go check them out. Give them your business. That's dope. So your favorite, you would say, is the Den of Thieves?
From them? Yeah, totally. It's, again, like red wine. And it's like the most masculine candle you can buy. It's so good. But it makes your whole house smell like warm and inviting. And then I just bought the like Walk Through the Forest, I think, which is cool because you do a lot of trail trekking in D&D. And so I needed a candle for that. And I think they have an ocean one, which I want to get because we've been spending a lot of time on a boat lately. And I didn't have a candle for that. So I was just burning the parchment one and it just didn't feel right. So, you know, I'll eventually collect them all as if they were Pokemon and so that we have a candle for every situation.
There you go.
Amazing.
Situation for every candle. Yeah.
All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie?
Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to The Best One Yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
And we're back. So, you know, I think we're all still working through processing, enraged at
raging
what was revealed in the leaked Gorsuch decision.
The leak!
That seems to be foreshadowing that they're going to overturn Roe and do it in a very aggressive fashion that seems to just be like, yeah, and we can come for fucking anything. Go fuck yourselves, all of you. Each and every one. But like, just kind of taking a step back and looking at the way the news is covering this, has covered it. You hear the word grassroots thrown out there a lot, that this is a grassroots movement, which suggests that it's like a popular uprising that like naturally kind of percolated up from this large anti-choice movement that's just happening on the streets. And that's not the case. And Miles, you put together some good thoughts on just like kind of putting this in perspective of what exactly we're seeing.
Whether it's grassroots, I mean, clearly there are activists because there are violent anti-choice activists out there who are, you know, normal people who have a really violent agenda. But like when you look at when you're sort of tracking how we got here, you know, a lot of people have said like, see, the Republicans, they got out and vote and they consistently got out. And like, that's how we got this. Well, I guess on a certain level, they do vote, but it wasn't because they're like, here's our thing, folks. We're going to get out because we're going to make sure we're going to strip people's human rights away. When you really look at sort of the Republican Party, right? 1976 is when the party decided to like fully embrace being anti-choice and making it part of the official party platform. And it wasn't because they believed innocent souls were being lost to the, you know, blight of abortion. They're looking at power. And they said, who else can we bring into the party that's motivated to keep voting for us? Oh, that's right, evangelicals. So if we make this part of who we are, then we're bringing in a whole group of other voters so we can begin to, you know, eke out our wins at a higher rate and have something that is, you know, that appeals to this group emotionally. And it's worked. You know, it's driven out a lot of people to come vote around this issue, despite, right, only 30% of Americans wanting Roe to be overturned. Because with evangelicals, not only do you bring in more people into the base, but you also have an issue of making abortion a new way to push back against the civil rights movement and another way to control people. Because as we all know, reproductive rights and the lack of safe abortion access is going to affect the poorest people in the country. And that's typically the most affected people are going to be people of color. So this all kind of came together in a very opportunistic way. And, right. You know,
but they haven't had the majority vote in 7 of the 8 last presidential elections.
No, not so at all. And this has been, you know, throughout the 80s and 90s and the aughts, like this was useful for both parties. The Republicans could dangle the carrot of overturning Roe to get the base, you know, motivated. And Democrats raised the specter of overturning Roe also to be like, oh, you got to give us money because they might do this. But in the early aughts is really when things began to change and the influence of dark money groups really increased as it relates to how Supreme Court justices are picked and what the sort of bare minimum is for somebody to be a judge that is getting the blessing from a group like the Federalist Society. So, again, dark money groups are basically political spending groups that are structured as nonprofits that do not have to disclose where their funding comes from. There's many different kinds of nonprofits. Certain nonprofits do have to disclose where every single dollar that they receive, where that comes from. Others do not. And those are the dark money groups because it allows for gigantic donations of millions of dollars to go in and you don't know where it came from. And they're free to spend that money however they'd like. Now, specifically, right, groups like the Judicial Crisis Network and the Federalist Society have had the biggest influence. And Leonard Leo, who is a longtime senior executive at the Federalist Society, has had the ears of the last two Republican presidents, Trump and Bush. He was even Trump's judicial like advisor, basically. And at the same time, he was telling Trump, these are the people who should be judges or justices. He was running this network of dark money groups to exert their influence in these different confirmation hearings. So it started with Alito and Roberts. And again, every single time they start injecting money. To give you an idea of the kind of money that they put in, it's about $10 million per nominee. And they've said, you know, we spent a lot of money. We spent around $10 million blocking Merrick Garland's nomination. And we spent about $10 million each on Kavanaugh, Gorsuch, and Coney Barrett. And when you look at how this money moves, right? Right before Coney Barrett's nomination began, the Judicial Crisis Network got a $14 million donation from one donor. And it only, and they spend about $10 million, whether that's ads, whether that's putting pressure on senators to vote to confirm, or, you know, just to prop them up, putting up flowery ads about a judge, what have you. That's where that money's being spent. And if you just really think about it, one person can single-handedly fund the media blitz to confirm or block a nominee, you know, because that's just sort of the amounts of money that's moving. And this is why I think we experience this extreme level of minority rule right now, because you have two presidents that lost the popular vote in Trump and Bush. They appointed five Supreme Court justices and through that have stripped away the rights of millions. And it's not because the Republicans are getting out and consistently voting. Yes, that's part of the process. But in a much larger scale, we don't really report on the fact that so many of our policies that are shaped are coming from the very wealthy. And that's who, at the end of the day, is sort of at the wheel at what kinds of policies these politicians are trying to legislate. And we don't need Democrats to just tell people to vote. They can use the fucking power that they actually have right now to do things in the interim. You know, many people have pointed to the fact that Biden can make sure the FDA can guarantee access to the abortion pill, or blue states can help expand access to abortion using Medicaid funds to help the people that would inevitably be crossing state lines to get a safe abortion. So as the moneyed powers that stand, you have most capitalists, they want to vaporize the federal government so they can privatize everything. And then the process strip away things like our privacy rights, our ability to organize as workers, and safety regulations so they can conduct business in a way that is just maximum, provides maximum benefit for their profit earning business. And the biggest impediments to those profits is having to treat people like they are humans. And the best way to get rid of those hurdles is by controlling the Supreme Court. Because now we're in a situation where Alito has basically said the gist of what his opinion is saying is, if that shit isn't literally in the Constitution when they wrote it, I don't know if that's a right.
Yeah.
That is a banana statement to stand on, given all the things that weren't rights when the Constitution was written. Given the fact that, like, it's meant to be a living document, I can't wrap my mind around how they think it's going to work. It, listen, I'm torn on, is this the grasping death rattle of a dying, like, breed, in that, you know, folks who are super dedicated to the Constitution, not as a starting point, but as the finish line, or if it's the beginning of the end, not to be too dark, but also,
well,
what the fuck?
It opens the door, right? Because think about all these things that happened since the Civil Rights Movement.
Mm-hmm.
All that's on the table, essentially, based on the logic that's being presented in this draft that we've read.
Yeah.
I mean, Black people were not a full person in the initial Constitution. I just don't know. I just don't know what you could possibly be thinking, how you think that's going to work.
I mean, I think the most, you know, what a lot of states will probably be emboldened to do is to try and begin to chip away at people's access to contraception.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's fair.
I mean, they're already.
That feels like the easiest thing, the next step that they can continue, because a lot of people wrongfully say things like IUDs are abortion.
Right.
They're not.
Yeah.
But we can begin to see, because the access to contraception, those things were decided in the 50s or 60s, I believe, for married and unmarried people, that's another thing. I'm like, man, maybe that decision was wrong too.
It's such a transparent thing that's happened, where these people are put there by, you know, people who are elected due to wealthy donors. They then enact legislation on the Supreme Court that makes it so that, you know, like, they are obliterating campaign finance restrictions, which makes America into an oligarchy. That the number, that 7 of 8 presidential elections, 7 of the past 8 presidential elections were Democratic majority results. And the one win was for a Republican incumbent after 9/11, like, when the nation had lost its fucking mind. Like, it's a pretty clear majority at this point. And this is just not a majority rule country. It's a capital rule country at this point. And it's like not even, but like the fact that this isn't the number one thing, like the number one angle on the front page of the New York Times, like is part of the problem. This is a country that is also so bad at talking about like class and, you know, the just outsized influence of corporations and the wealthy. It's and the idea that they get to couch it as like a grassroots thing as opposed to a, you know, oligarchy seizing power from the majority of Americans and putting their very extremist ideas into action is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
There's a call from the same group that organized the Women's Rights March, the Pussy Hat Ladies in, what was it, like 2017, right after that Orange Dude took office. They had that really large march, which was basically like just a very vocal demonstration of like, hey, we're here and we see you, but didn't yield, to my knowledge, a lot of actual results. There's a call for women to just like not spend money for like starting next week, like for an entire week, to do their best to not like engage in the economy as a vocal opportunity to say like, hey, don't fuck with us. Based off of, you know, Iceland's similar protest in, what was that, like 78, I think. I don't know if it'll work. I don't know if there's, it seems like a thing that upper middle class and up folks can do. I don't know, you know, back when I was making like $7.50 an hour, if that would have been an option to just not spend money. I got to get on the bus. I got to do X, yeah, Y, and Z in order to support myself. But I do like the idea potentially of being like, can we as a vocal majority say, we'll just keep our money then and you can't have it, because that's the only like language that you guys speak. And it doesn't seem we can do much beyond, you know, threaten to take away our money. It's the only thing that really speaks to companies, I think, anyway, from a large group of people saying like, hey, we'll tank your stock if we have to. What do we need to do?
Right.
And it also goes back to this reflexive individualism. Like, we are inside the system where massive corporations outside of our control and above all of us are making these decisions that take away the rights of individuals. And then the answer seems to always reflexively go to like, we need to demonstrate harder. We need to, you know, vote harder. And we need to, like, in this case, and I think any action is great. Like, I do feel like the way that, like, this system is just irrevocably fucked right now is underrated by a lot of the kind of initial responses, which are like, well, we gotta, like, this is what people in Latin American countries did to get abortion rights. Like, we need to do that too. And like, that may be true, but like, we also are like at the tail end of a long period of this system just actively like robbing people of their individual rights.
Right. And yeah, you know, to again, like when you talk about all the money that's swirling around, you think of how all like these decisions are really made in advance by wealthy people, whether it's like overturning Roe, or even go back to like Clinton, right? And repealing the Glass-Steagall Act, which basically casino-fied Wall Street. That we have people who like come from Goldman Sachs, end up running the Treasury, lean on Bill Clinton and others to be like, hey man, what we need to do is make it real easy to allow investment banks, retail banks, and insurers to merge into one thing, which ended up us having to, you know, we saw what happened in 2008. And again, you even look at the people within that industry, like Robert Rubin, who was at the Treasury at the time. He ends up going to Citigroup right after, and he was leaning on Clinton to be like, you have to pre-approve a merger between Citigroup and Travelers as part of like this bill. And you can see that so many people in the government, these monumental bills, they're always outside aims, right? It's not necessarily just for the bent of like that. They're like, this is actually what we need for the country. No, it's this guy from Goldman Sachs, other people from other places end up in the White House and they're like, hey, man, so I'm here to hook up the homies.
Right.
Yeah.
So let's begin to do that. And, you know, some people can win off that. But more importantly, this is going to help our industry. And we can case it in whatever argument we need to. But we're not regularly talking about how much moneyed influence we can point to so many of our ills because people were enriching themselves with some of these policy decisions. And like, apparently, if you do, then it's like too extreme to be on like CNN or fucking MSNBC. Or they're just not interested in it because it inevitably is going to cause some kind of examination of what the role of corporations are in our media and our politics and things like that. And in a fully corporatized ad based, you know, media format, that can't always happen. Luckily, we're not enough of a threat where people are trying to pull to say, oh, this is too dangerous or whatever, even though this is ad supported. But you look at like larger companies, if a network is wholly owned by a company that's also making like war machines, they're less likely to talk about the military industrial complex there. And we, because of all so many things become obscure, we're like coming out of this fog where we're like in a car accident where not many people realize that this thing has been broken for a very long time.
Yeah. Sorry, Joel, were you about to say something?
No, I don't know. It's very dark and scary times, particularly when you follow a lot of abortion rights activists, and their like night of learning the news was just so traumatic from the perspective of like, okay, well, we'll start telling the stories of our mothers then and what they had to deal with. It's just like, oh, we definitely can't go back there. And then, you know, a lot of them were like, here are action plans to figure out which doctors know how to perform abortions. Can you talk to that doctor not on the record about whether they'd be willing to do that post it being legal? Like, I mean, the things that people are already having to try to comprehend doing, you know, just to survive, just to, you know, keep more women alive and more people with uteruses alive. It's a lot.
And this, when you look at something like this, you just see more and more like, you know, what started off as courting evangelicals, the Republicans also like, you know what? I think we can also use patriarchy and misogyny to get people motivated. It might not even be necessarily not maybe some of these people really don't care if it's about hell and saving a soul. They actually like the idea that we can tell somebody with a uterus, nah, you can't do that. You can do this, though. Can't do that. And it's just, you know, more control. And I think over time it morphs into these things and we're now at a point where people are asking, well, what needs to be done? Well, you know, a lot of people have been saying from the beginning, you could expand the court, put term limits on these justices and things like that. But we still seem to be in a phase where where we've been waiting for a response from the federal government since that law in Texas passed. And Joe Biden was like, just you wait.
Whole government response. Whole of government response. Yeah, we're about to talk about that. But yeah, scary times, especially when you take into account that like even before Roe, women weren't typically the target of prosecution around cases of abortion. And since like they've started pushing back laws in states, that seems to be the strategy is like a woman who comes in with a stillbirth like that gets investigated for what happened in her own body.
A woman was arrested in Indiana like what, a year, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
For having a miscarriage. Like, yeah, the things they're going after, the things that they're trying to do, you know, even just trying to do, it's frightening.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people too, like throughout all of this, we're almost like we're confused because we're like, did we ever actually have progress? You know, like, or are we still the same country, but the people have moved forward, but the policies haven't. And we're constantly having like a reconciliation or reckoning with what the message is, what the lived reality is, what the sentiment is of people and how like they feel like they're all in completely different spaces, like they're not in agreement.
Yeah.
And is it like that we're taking away rights, or it's like, you know, to be honest, most people never really had a lot of these rights anyway. You know, when you consider like the amount of like recognized safe abortion clinics that were actually in the country, even after Roe, like what is the situation? And I don't know, like part of me is like, are we really, do we think of all the progress? We've definitely made so much progress, but there's been so much shit going back and forth. Like, you take a step forward, you take two back, you take three forward, one back. And you're like, how much actually have we moved forward on a continuum? And I find myself constantly trying to think about that. Like, right, I know these laws passed and that's good, but I'm still looking at statistics of like death rates and other things as it relates to a myriad of issues. And I'm like, it's just, it's a difficult time.
There's a great quote from Marianne Caba, who's an abolitionist, who says, hope is a discipline, which I think is, you know, apt for the times. And I mean, how progress is slow, unfortunately. It doesn't happen rapidly. I think examining it as what ground are we not willing to cede, and how much further can we push for a better world for the majority, and focusing really on that kind of hope is good. I think understanding who is trying to take away our rights and discerning that from, you know, what our neighbors, you know, I mean, you said before, like, what is it, 70% of people are pro-abortion, are, you know, I think we have to remember that there's more of us and we are stronger in spirit than, you know, than their greed. It's going to take time, though, and it might get scary along the way, unfortunately.
Yeah. And, you know, and I think it's disheartening, too, when we, you know, we're sort of indoctrinated with this idea that, you know, like that we vote the people in and then they make the laws to help, you know, keep people safe. But all we read about is the lack of safety we have and confused leadership. And that really it's such a like defeating thing for a lot of people to grasp, because we're looking for solutions, but
invest time in your community, people. I can't stress it strongly enough. Build into your own communities, because you will have a much firmer and clearer idea of what is actually happening around you. And when you see frightening change or people trying to lead your community in a direction that you know is wrong or unsafe, you can take action at a local level. And I really think that's going to be our solution going forward. Small local steps, because if they can't touch us there, then it's going to be much harder for them to operate on a large scale without us.
Yeah. I mean, places we've definitely seen progress go in the wrong direction is caging of humans, right? Like in the United States. And the increased power and, you know, budgets and militarization of police. And like those are human, you know, those are directly things that are used to take away human rights. I mean, obviously, in the case of caging, like that is exactly what it is designed to do. And yeah, this feels like it's part of a larger whole and not necessarily a new thing that is just like the result of some extremists on the Supreme Court, which I feel like is the way some people are greeting it. But yeah. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back and talk Biden.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say "free this week" into your Xfinity voice remote.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie?
Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to The Best One Yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
And we're back. And Biden, as we mentioned, promised a whole of government response to Texas's anti-choice laws. And then I'll just read from some senators about like what that whole of government response looked like. Not a peep, Senator John Tester told the Daily Beast when asked if he'd heard anything about the whole of government approach. Hmm. They haven't shared that with me, said Senator Tim Kaine, and so forth. There was nothing. Now they're saying that, you know, they're starting to have emergency meetings with the White House about how to protect abortion access, but that before Monday's bombshell leak, they hadn't talked any specifics with Biden, with the administration.
Right. And it's like, are we surprised given his history?
Yeah.
His historical relationship to the concept of abortion.
Yeah. So in 1974, he literally said, I don't think that a woman has the sole right to say what should happen to her body. That Joe Biden said that.
I'm 77. Jump off a bridge.
We did it, Joe.
Christ.
In 77, he voted against using Medicaid to fund abortions and even exceptions for victims of rape and incest, in addition to concerns for the life of the mother. So those were, he voted against taking those exceptions into account. In 81, he voted to remove them, exceptions in what is considered the most far-reaching ban on federal funds ever enacted to Congress, voted several times to keep federal workers from using health insurance to pay for abortions. As president, he did omit the Hyde Amendment, which denies insurance coverage for abortion through government-sponsored plans like Medicaid. So he didn't use that in his budgets, but he supported the Hyde Amendment as recently as while he was campaigning in 2019.
Yeah, so that was a big issue.
Yikes.
Yeah, I mean, there's even a tweet from like the POTUS account too that's like, all right, we know what we got to do. Like, elected officials, we got to do everything we can to make this happen, and the voters got to make sure they protect the pro-choice politicians and elect them. But mm-hmm. you also look at the same time, like, this guy is campaigning for like Henry Cuellar, who is like a anti-choice Democrat. And so is like Jim Clyburn and Nancy Pelosi, and the party's leadership is getting behind an anti-choice Democrat. And, you know, so it's like hard to, so much is self-inflicted with this too. Mm-hmm. Like, we're not, like, the Democrats aren't even consistent. Like, the Republicans are like, nah, man, like, we're like, we are anti-choice. Democrats are like, well, you know, like, if this guy, if it works for him over there, that's fine, but because we got to win these elections. But that sort of normalization, I think, really dulled the sense of urgency for Democrats for what, the last 50 years.
Right. So it's all about practicalities and like following the polling and then not following the polling when it means actually doing something that helps people.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. It's
cowardly.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't even know. I don't even know. I mean, it's.
I mean, they're straight playing in our faces, though. Like, I mean, in a way that's sort of horrifying. In the same way that they're doing it with these students. Well, we don't know if we can do student loans or not. We can't forgive. We're just not sure. What would that look like even? We have billions of dollars to do, I don't know, military things, but couldn't possibly figure out how to do this. We can keep delaying them, though. We can't just stand up and say anything about abortion because Republicans will go crazy. We understand that the majority of people are pro-abortion and believe women have rights to their bodies, but what could we possibly do? Oh, gosh, they promise us they're not going to change it and that that's just law. They said it in their hearings, and so we have to believe them. I mean, it's a constant naivete from them, and I think it's feigned, which is pretty exhausting, and I can't understand why, other than cowardice. Like, I have to face these people, and I don't want them to be mad, or I'm not sure, you know, people might be mad. It really seems to boil down to people might be mad at me, and so I can't make these life-changing, generationally impactful changes that are necessary immediately, despite having the power to do so.
And I think this is in general, right? That we have too many people like who are anchors on cable news and who are politicians who are so wealthy that their idea of what a working person is maybe when they were 12.
Right.
You know what I mean? And they're operating from that concept of what it means to be a wage worker, what it means to be a single parent, and are not fully connected with what that reality. I keep saying this over and over. That's the bit that's so clear. That's why they're confused. That's why they are like, whoa, wait, no. Oh, this, I thought this shit used to work 10 years ago. Well, yeah, 10 years ago, there weren't as many people like grappling with their own debt, their lack of upward mobility and things like that. And they're now aging into a point where they're a larger cohort of people who vote. And I think that's the other part we're experiencing, too, is like the people who represent us, 95% have no idea what life is like in America.
Right.
Sure.
And so that's why there's no sense of urgency. Everything feels like from their perspective, okay, yeah, this is bad, but we can do this. We can do this. We can do this. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. Like, I think people have made the argument he's not equipped to lead this fight. But I think it's like he actively has been working against women's reproductive rights for most of his career. So regardless of what he may say now, it's pretty clear that there's a reason behind his inaction. And I don't know. I don't know if it gets better, if like for political expediency, he changes and, you know, uses this to his advantage. But it's pretty fucked that we find ourselves in this position.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. And right now, I think the only thing that is of benefit is like, you know, blue states are codifying those rights. And try, some local officials are trying to say, like, we need to do whatever we can. Like, if we're like a blue state surrounded by red states, like how we help people, like in Illinois or like Maryland, where you're like in these places where a lot of like you're kind of where people might head to. And we do see that discussion beginning, but that seems to be out of people who understand the urgency of it and are connected to those resources and trying to move immediately. And then, you know, up at the highest level, there's just like now we're, you know, half of the discussion is like, who leaked it? Why did they leak it? And they're like, there's even a cynical version of like, did Democrats leak it to try and like get people to wake up? You know,
that's so strange to me because my mind immediately was like, okay, so some hero was like, not on my watch, and released the papers and was like, people need to know before it becomes an action. But then I saw some talking head, and I don't remember who it was, but they were like, oh, well, maybe the Republicans did it so no one could back out. Maybe the Democrats did it as a way of embarrassing the court. And I was like, that seems so, I mean, even if that is the case, it seems so beyond like, I don't care, really. Yeah. Like, what the alternative method or reasoning was, it just matters that, like, that does not happen if we can stop it. If there is any kind of way to not make, you know, people with uteruses second-class citizens, that would be great. It's super awesome.
Yeah, the New York Times is covering the perception of politicization as like I think that was like the top story on Wednesday morning, was like people on both sides are like dismayed at the growing politicization of the court. And, you know, suddenly with this leak business, we're seeing a Supreme Court that has succumbed to the evil politics where there are sides. And these are, you know, supposed to be the law priests calling balls and strikes. Except, you know, Alex Schmidt on yesterday's episode was pointed to this thing by Ian Millhiser, a book, I think they're called, This Thing by Ian Millhiser, a book by Ian Millhiser called Injustices, that's just like kind of a 20th century history of the Supreme Court. And it is, it's very instructive. I guess that's like, they are almost uniformly pushing in the direction of Congress will put something into action. They will use that interpretation or that law to like protect businesses or corporations. Mm-hmm. There's like a great anecdote in the book about, or a horrifying anecdote about how, like, after Congress started like putting rulings for like due process into place, so that like, you know, white supremacist states couldn't just use whatever means they wanted to cage freed slaves, the Supreme Court took that and started applying it to like things like a case that came before them where 8-year-olds were working in coal mines, and people were like, that's not okay to have 8-year-olds working in coal mines and like having, you know, being killed frequently, constantly, because they're 8 and they're working in a fucking coal mine. They were like, that you're messing with the due process of like the coal corporations, or, you know, you're messing when somebody tried to get like a sub 60-hour work week and less than 10 hours in a single day for New York bakers. They like came through and said that the law violated the liberty of bakery owners to negotiate contracts with their employees. Like they take the progressive ideas in the government, like that are supported by people, and they use it to protect corporations. So by the New York Times logic of like politicization being a problem, the Supreme Court is like allowed to do a very political thing of siding with businesses who make their 1% lifestyles possible. They're just not allowed to disagree with each other publicly when they do that, mm-hmm. is essentially like the message that that is sending down. But yeah, that has been their thing. They've been pro-business. They've been very conservative. And then when they occasionally have a liberal or progressive leaning decision, it's without fail something that is actually emerging within the public. So they're just there to agree with the public and like occasionally crystallize things like gay marriage into law after people have already, you know, come to that decision on their own. So they're not really doing anything for us. They're just taking away our rights while empowering businesses. And that's been the case for the entire 20th century.
Yeah, right. Yes. And it's like there's no branch of government that is free of that.
Yeah.
It's like I said, man, these people need to be wearing fucking NASCAR jackets with all their fucking donors on it. So when they walk into the Capitol, you're like, okay, so you're Pfizer, you're Dow Chemicals, you're 3M, you're this company. Because that is so much of how someone's votes are determined based on who they're beholden to. And I don't know why there just needs to be, again, more discussion around how all of this is working rather than treating it like this abstraction that we can't figure out. What's going on? What's happening? Yeah. how did we get here? We fucking know. It's because the power dynamic isn't such where politicians are beholden to the people. That has been completely obliterated, and votes are just a means to an end to legitimize the decisions that these politicians make on behalf of their wealthy donors. And that's the situation we're in. And it's just going to continue to devolve, like we're saying, like since, you know, fucking the Supreme Court. What do you want to do? Hey, what do you? Oh, what they're making you treat these 8-year-olds like human workers? Nah, man, you're violating that 8-year-old's right to exploit themselves out of sheer desperation because of a system we helped set up.
Right.
Or like some dumbass senator said, if you don't want to have a baby, don't have sex. Sir?
Right.
Sir.
I don't know if you know how anything, or no one forced you to have sex. Do you, have you heard of the term rape? Do you know what it means? Like, and then causing women to have to like share their horrific stories to sort of articulate against your point. It's just.
Right. Because again, we have a bunch of dudes really making a bulk of the decisions, a bulk of white men making the decisions.
And a ton of white women just supporting that white supremacist goal.
Yeah. And everyone's internalized, like everyone is dealing with so much as this is all happening. But again, I think it's just really harmful for articles to be written that are like confused or like how we got here. And we're not constantly just ringing the alarm that like, well, this isn't a representative democracy. Obviously, it never really was a republic, what have you. But it's just it's a full on, you know, that we have too many corporatized politicians now. And Washington, D.C. is merely the venue to help set business policy. And we're just in real time having to react to that, whether it's tax cuts for them or cutting off people's health care or whatever. And that's the confusion, I think, is that we're not the mainstream sort of tone on all of this is we have not been a country, I don't know, maybe ever. We've never been a country that is looking at every single person that lives here as a human being, and that there's a certain level of inalienable rights that applies to every single living person in the country.
Yeah. And this is the one thing that is notable about this is that other countries, as I think one of you said earlier, like other countries have not been moving in this direction on reproductive rights and abortion rights, like it really at all. And suddenly the US is like moving, rolling things back in a way that, you know, when you read about countries that prohibit access to abortion, you like immediately see like it's a fucking nightmare. It's a absolute nightmare. And the thing that they're trying to institute is a absolute nightmare. And like that would be a great front page story for the New York Times to tell. Like that, right. This is out of step with everything around the world. And like this is where we are now. And it makes sense that we're here because of the system that we have in place.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, all the while, you know, the Republicans just continue to like in public be like, we hate you. We hate you if you have a uterus. We hate you if you're not Christian. We hate you if you're not cisgendered. We hate you if you're not white.
Yep.
That's it. We're telling you that.
Right.
That's where we're at. And we're like, okay, somebody go toe to toe with this. And we're not seeing the kinds of responses that we need. And to be honest, this is something that has been a 50-year issue that could have been addressed, but it seemed, I think, it's beneficial for both sides to kind of keep reaching for it. I'm going to reach. Mm-hmm. Look, I got that thing on me. I could overturn Roe.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other version is like, they got that thing on them. They could overturn Roe. You know? And then we just go in circles and now we're here.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, they've redlined us to death. So like, even if when we try to vote them out and make our voices heard, it's become statistically challenging to do so.
And look how quickly we saw DHS beating people up who were protesting.
Right.
Oh, of
course. For people who are pro-abortion out there in LA, I saw the clips, fucking DHS goons rolling out and just, what the fuck? Already? But again, they're showing you the stakes already. Like so you're here for that too. And so that's another thing. Body autonomy, you know, police violence, that's don't think any of that's going to change, because you're going to, now we're just saying we will be met with violence. Even if you're there to say, I'm not even saying you need less money, fool. I'm here to say people deserve body autonomy. And now you want to fucking rough people up over that?
Yeah. All right. Well, that's been an episode, Joelle. It's been
sorry.
It is always such a pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Where can people find you and follow you and hear you? Let's remind
For news that is not this, but Star Wars and comic based, if you need to enjoy some escapism, come check out Comic-Con Metapod, wherever you get your podcasts. And you can follow me all over the internet at Joelle Monique. It's JoelleMoniqueE. I have two tweets I want to share. One's a little dark, one's a little hopeful. So here we go. First one comes from Angry Black Lady. That's Amani Gandhi. She's a lawyer. She's pretty dope. And she tweeted this on the night of May 2nd when we found out everything. It says, tonight's abject panic makes it clear that people aren't ready for what's about to happen. Get ready. Get your affairs in order. Figure out whether or not you're willing to break the law to help a friend, get an abortion, and how far you're willing to go. In response to that, someone said, get ready. Nothing in writing. Don't say fuck about shit over the phone. Don't take secrets to the grave. To the grave. We have each other's backs. We shut our goddamn mouths. We didn't hear anything. You don't know anything. You only love people harder than ever. Which I think is a great message and sort of aspirational to hear a lot of abortion rights activists who've been on the ground doing the work for years have plans and are ready to go. And along those lines, Jennifer Gunter, who goes by Dr. Jen Gunter on Twitter, who is the vagina doctor, and she is amazing. She has an incredible podcast. She said, there's something concrete you can do today to support abortion. Look up your doctor, see if they are a member of the AAPLOG. That is the American Association of Pro-Life OBGYNs. This is a medical hate group that spreads lies about abortions. If your doctor is listed, try to get a doctor who isn't. Look it up if they took down their logs. But feel free to call your doctor and just straight up ask them. Get the information. Share it with people you know who might go to that doctor. If we can stop it, at least somewhat at the source, if you can make sure you have a doctor that's an ally, that can go a long way to helping you in the future. So some advice.
Yeah. Miles, where can people find you? What is a tweet you've been enjoying?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. Also, you know, if you like 90 Day Fiancé, check out 420 Day Fiancé. And if you like basketball, and I know you probably do because the playoffs are just they're rumbling and bumbling, check out Matt Boosty's Jack and Mike Basketball podcast. Yeah, Ja Rastafari, Demetrius came.
I was just agreeing with what you said in a vaguely German way.
Oh, I think that would be
Yeah.
Okay. Rastafari. So the first, some tweets I like, David at underscore DJS45. We were talking about the 4-day work week. Tweeted, my company just announced we're moving to a 4-day work week. Let's go.
Dreams. You know, congratulations.
You love to fucking hear that. And then another tweet I like is from a beautiful woman at Tamagotchi MILF tweeted, hung out with my boyfriend's mom for too long. Was like, damn, I love this bitch. We're like literally the same person. Then I was like, oh.
Warning.
Let's see. Just go watch Ja Morant highlights, I guess, on Twitter. That's what I've been doing to keep myself sane. The best. Put up 47 in the game two nights ago. Anyways, you can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes.
Footnotes.
Where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what song do you think people might enjoy?
Today, we're going to go out on a track called Guessing Games with the artist Dev Lemons. She's a musician, you know, host of Song Psych, but also, you know, got good AKAs, AKA Miss iPad, AKA D Lemmy, AKA Lord Lemquad, and her music is dope. This track, Guessing Games, feels like very sort of psych pop R&B. The keys are very like ethereal. The vocals are very cool. And, you know, just something a little bit different, familiar, but just slightly tweaked. So this is Dev Lemons with Guessing Games.
All right. Well, go check that out. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production by iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for us this morning. We are back this afternoon to tell you what is trending, and we'll talk to you all then. Bye.
Bye.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.